May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are coming toward the end of Easter season. Soon it will be Ascension Day, and then Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. And yet, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, today is Easter Sunday. Their celebration of the resurrection is just beginning. Now, I have a great appreciation for the Orthodox Church, and in particular, for what they have to bring to us, to the wider church, about the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And each of today's three readings is in some way about the Holy Spirit. The story we heard from the Acts of the Apostles recalls St. Paul's second missionary journey. Paul, in the midst of his visits to churches he had planted earlier, wonders where he should go next. Suddenly, he has a vision of a man from Macedonia pleading to Paul for help. And so he takes this as a sign and sets off for Macedonia. But it seems God has another purpose for this journey. Along the way, Paul and his companions stop in Philippi to celebrate the Sabbath. And while they are there, they meet a group of Jewish women. And one of them is a woman named Lydia. She is a God-fearer, not Jewish by birth, but in her search for God has joined in worshiping the God of Israel. Lydia is also a successful businesswoman, dealing in purple cloth, which meant she was a woman of wealth and influence. Now, I personally love this snapshot into the life of the early church, for it points to the unexpected and to the surprising nature of God's calling. Notice the way God brings Paul to meet Lydia. God seems to have diverted him from preaching to thousands in Asia to speak with this small group of women in Philippi. And as Paul preaches, Lydia listens, and God reaches her. She comes to faith, and soon her entire household is baptized. Now, Lydia is recognized today as a first disciple from Europe, and in all probability, she was a leader in the early church. She was a partner in the gospel with Paul, pointing us again to the surprising work of the Spirit, for it was virtually unheard of for women to be recognized in this way. This past Friday, we remembered the life of Catherine of Siena, a 14th century saint. And Father Ralph spoke about Catherine to the children at St. Peter's School. And from what he said, I imagine that she was a woman much like Lydia. She had a call from God, and despite her many obstacles, she followed this call. And at a time when women had little choice in what they did, Catherine chose to serve the poor at great sacrifice to herself. She embraced the new life of the Spirit. And as a result, she had great influence in both the church and the politics of her day. She, like Lydia before her, is a testimony to the Spirit of God, who breaks through our prejudice and our short-sighted understanding with the hope of something new. And we see this today in the gospel reading. Jesus prepares his disciples for departure by promising something new. And this something new is God himself. God's very Spirit will make a home with us. And as our reading from Revelation says, God's Spirit is like water, the river of life flowing to all. Now, I recall a few months ago trying to explain the work of the Holy Spirit to our young confirmation candidates. And as I did, one of them stopped me mid-sentence. She said, "You mean that the Holy Spirit is the life of God inside me?" And I thought for a moment, and I said, "Yes, that's exactly it. The work of the Holy Spirit is mysterious and sometimes difficult to understand, And yet, it is as simple as that. The spirit of new life is God within us. And yet, you might be thinking, if the spirit is God's gift of life in us, why don't we see more evidence? How can we speak about the hope of new life when there is so much suffering in the world around us? Well, now I don't have an answer to this question, but I have a story that I think points us in the right direction. A few years ago, I was privileged to attend the enthronement of the new archbishop. And I met there someone who gave me a glimpse of what new life might look like today. After the service, my husband Ivan and I were standing outside the cathedral gate, watching the parade of people leaving the event. And we saw a man we presumed to be an Orthodox bishop, asking in broken English directions to his hotel. And so we offered to help him by going to his hotel with him and calling a taxi. But this rather elderly bishop held up his finger to his long gray beard and emphatically said, "No, we will walk through the city of Canterbury so I can bless and see the people." And so the three of us began a procession down the high street. Now the bishop, in his black habit, prominent headgear, and large icon around his neck, made quite an impression upon everyone we met. And I found myself impressed by his sense of celebration, the sheer joy he communicated to every person along the way. He would call out across the street to anyone who caught his eye, "Hello, God bless you." Now everyone stared. Some seemed a bit dumbfounded, but many were clearly moved by his gesture of friendship. In conversation, we learned that he was the bishop of Damascus, and we were hoping to keep the conversation going as we saw a group of young men loudly congregating on the street around empty alcohol containers and at least one pit bull on the leash. Now, I was thinking about making my way to the other side of the street, as I'm not crazy about pit bulls. But this bishop had other ideas. He placed his hand on the young man's shoulders, and he said, "God bless you." The man just stopped and stared. One of the others managed to get out the words, "Thank you, Father." Another turned to his friend in disbelief, saying, "This man gave us a blessing." Now, later that evening, as I thought about this experience with the bishop from Damascus, I was struck with how God, through him, was communicating new life. This bishop was, for me, evidence of the presence of Jesus, of the outpouring of the Spirit. He was a glimpse into the answer of prayers by many. Each week, as we do now, along with churches around the world, we pray for Syria and for the Christians in Damascus. We pray for an end to the war. We pray for the many refugees and for all who suffer. And we may wonder at times if our prayers are ever really answered. Well, I think the Bishop of Damascus is a sign that God is present in Syria, bringing life and light in the darkness. I can only imagine the care and the blessing he brings to his people in the midst of their great suffering. And what further evidence of God's gift of new life could we ask for today? Now, we may not find ourselves in the same position as the Bishop of Damascus, but like him, like Catherine of Siena, and like Lydia, we are called to proclaim the life of God where we are, in our work, with our family, and with our friends. And as we do, we will see that the spirit of new life is alive in us. Amen.